Good morning and welcome to Perspectives, a public affairs program produced by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm News Director Gary Stevens.
The 80th Tulip Time Festival is underway. On Friday, WHTC in the morning host Dan Spadafora chatted with Tulip Time Executive Director Gwen Huerta, along with the Tulip Time Festival Board Chairman Nathan Box.
Right. What are we looking at this year for Tulip Time?
We've got some great weekend activities planned. We've got the carnival starts this evening with the Fiesta celebration at the Civic Center. We've got fireworks tomorrow night, art and craft fair, kinder plots, 5K, 10K run kicks everything off tomorrow morning out of Collin Park. And so we've got a lot of great things going on, neat shows, and we are ready to gear up for the festival.
Now, Nathan, you do tours still, is that right?
I do. I've been doing tours for over 20 years with the festival. I'm doing just one this year on Monday.
Okay.
Because I've got a lot of official responsibilities for the Tulip Time Board this year.
Okay. So
not
what,
as much of that.
I'm not familiar with the tour. What kind of, is that just a tour of the city?
It is. I work with motor coach groups. We have groups coming in from all over the country, and I'm what's called a step-on guide. And what we do is when the motor coach comes into town, we step onto the coach with
them,
and you're with them anywhere from 3 hours to the longest tour I've done is 2 days.
That's a long time with you.
It's a long time with me. This year I've just got 1 8-hour tour. We'll be all over the city on Monday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Now, there's a couple of new things this year. One of them, just off the top of my head, is the Pick in the Blanket competition. What's some of the new stuff we can expect this year?
We've got Dutch Dogs on Parade. That is going to be a really fun. It's a parade entry on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We have the Philadelphia Mummers coming on Saturday for the Saturday Parade. The first time they're going to have been here in Michigan, and they are coming to Tulip Time Festival. They're a great band. Woodland String Band is what they're called. They have a lot of percussion instruments as well as saxophones and costumes that are unbelievable. So we're really excited to have them in the parade. They'll head things up at the beginning, and they'll come back around and do an encore performance on 8th Street in front of the Splash Pad on Saturday, so you'll want to make sure to stop and see that. We also have America's Flower Man, Dale Roman, here doing floral demonstration. I mean, what's a tulip festival without looking at tulips and figuring out what else to do with them besides look at their beauty in the ground? He will have some entertainment as well as show you some tips on how to arrange them in a base and have a neat floral arrangement.
He was a riot to talk to a couple weeks ago when he called in and told me, keep your tulips looking more lively. Believe it or not, mix gin and vodka mixed in with your water and your base, which I found a little weird, but I guess that works. I never heard of that before.
I think that makes everybody more lively.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I said, your tulips don't pass out. They sober up with the gin and vodka. But
great.
So Tulip Time kicks off tomorrow, as we already said. The run tomorrow morning, Brent from our brother station, the van, will be there. We'll also be together at Collin Park for the fireworks. And also Bill Cosby this year is coming to Holland. That's a pretty neat headliner. I love Bill Cosby because he's so gifted at being funny and also being clean.
Right. We love, when we were looking for who the headline act would be this year, we really were excited about Bill because he crosses multi-generations.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look to continue to program for a younger demographic, this was one that kind of fit all of those demographic areas for us. And he's been sold out for a couple weeks now, months actually, and so we're excited to see him here on Friday.
Absolutely, and I love Bill, like you said, because you know I can watch his show, and even at my age, still think that he's hilarious. So Bill, of course, one of the headliner here for Tulip Time. But again, Gwen Huerta and Nathan Box joining us from the Tulip Time offices. Guys, we're almost out of time, but this is my first full Tulip Time as a resident of Holland.
You're gonna love it, Dan. You want to get out, into the community, visit the food stands, come down, see Dutch dancers. A lot of locals will say they try to avoid downtown during the festival. They think that there's not parking. There's plenty of parking. It's easy to get in and out. The crowds are big, hopefully, but definitely manageable. The traffic is busier, but definitely manageable. And we say, come on down, enjoy the community, enjoy the great things that we have to offer right here in Holland for the locals as well.
Fantastic. Guys, we are out of time, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
While Tulip Time gains much of the attention this coming week, voters will be asked in some school districts to head to the polls to cast ballots on bond proposals. One of the districts involved is West Ottawa. And Dan Spadafora had a chance to chat earlier this year with Superintendent Tom Martin to talk about what voters in his district will be asked on Tuesday.
we'll be asking the voters to an extended bond that will produce about $90 million worth of revenue over two series. We can generate $42 million in 14 and another $47.5 in 20, and it will keep the millage rate at the current level of 7.75. There are three categories that this bond will produce revenue for. One, safety and security. Two, instructional technology. And three, building improvements.
Okay, so these are things that are going to be put towards to improve the district and kind of rebuild some things here and there throughout the school district. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't passed a bond since 02.
Okay.
And so this is a matter of taking care of the investments that we have. And we feel very strongly that this is the right call. We worked with a community group over 4 months to establish this. Our last bond proposal included a performing arts center and athletic stadium, and the group has decided that that's not what we really should go for at this point, and we are sticking to these three categories that will really provide stability to the district over the next 10 years.
We're speaking with Tom Martin, West Ottawa District Superintendent. Have you seen, what kind of support from the community have you seen from this bond question?
Well, we actually did a survey. We did a 400 random sample with part of this process. And actually, with what how we packaged it, mm-hmm. it actually had about 70% support via the survey. And so we feel very comfortable that this is something, and it's the right time, it's the right ask, and again, it will provide stability to the district over the next 10 years because our conversation has been with the group, what do you want the district to look like 3, 5, and 10 years down the road?
What are some problems you've run into trying to raise this? Again, from 70%, it looks like you have a lot of support, but have you had any issues with this bond, raising this bond?
No. I think that we had a great community conversation, and there was a lot of angst about what to include in it because we want to make sure that we are successful, and so that's why we eventually did the survey, so that we had 400 voices plus the 30 to 60 folks that showed up, you know, every 2 weeks for 4 months.
We're talking with Zeeland Congressman Bill Heising. The measure is now in the Senate, but the minimum wage question is being debated there. The leading proponent for raising the minimum wage is Lansing Democrat Debbie Stabenow. She reportedly is going to, quote, not take no for an answer after a procedural vote basically knocked down her legislation, saying it's just a matter of time before the minimum wage gets raised up. Sometimes some lawmakers don't want to take no for an answer and don't want to say, well, maybe this is just not the time for my legislation.
Well, that is the process. Is the Senate can pass a bill, but then the House has to pass a bill as well, and the President has to then sign it into law. So, there's a lot of things. I have a bill that passed the House unanimously. I won't take no for an answer. However, that still means I need action in the Senate to pass my bill. So, it's interesting this week. We do a ton of meetings out here in Washington with folks from the district that come out, you know, for associations, fly-ins and different things. And one of those groups was, the Michigan Restaurant Association. And, these are folks, some who own a couple of chain stores, some who own independents, what was interesting is they wanted two things addressed. They wanted immigration addressed so that they can function, and they wanted clarity on the rules. And one of the proposals with minimum wage is that the difference between a tipped employee and a straight up employee would be eliminated. And they are not going to survive if that is the case. And, the simple fact is there's laws in place that guarantee minimum wage for people that are called in that don't achieve a threshold, for their tipped employees. We've already talked about, the numerous stories that are out there about how, restaurants and others like that are cutting back on their hours to get people below the 30-hour threshold because of Obamacare requirements. and they view this as just one more element that's going to drive them out of business. And as we talked, as the dad of someone who's 16 and going to be 15 on Saturday, they see it too. They're very concerned about where do kids go these days to get entry level jobs and to get started in the workforce and learning how to work. I bus tables and washed dishes. That was my first outside job at 14 and 15 years old. They don't hire anybody until they're at least 16, and frankly, a lot of them were saying we don't even talk to anybody unless they're 18, because we've made it so burdensome on them to try to hire these younger kids that are trying to gain skills. This is one more element here that we have to get at. And sorry, I know this has been long, but I have put a lot of thought into this as well, because at the end of the day, the solution isn't just an artificial increase in the minimum wage to some number that any of my colleagues or the White House believe is the quote-unquote right number. It's having economic activity. It's having what's happening out in the Dakotas because of the energy boom and those kinds of things, where you are not even debating what minimum wage is, because nobody's being paid minimum wage, because everybody has so much happening in their businesses and the activity that's going on that these companies can't afford to pay minimum wage because they don't have enough workers. So that's the solution ultimately, is making sure that we've got options and opportunity for people.
And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens.